price of peace was the fine wine. Well picked, because that's our theme this morning. In the second week of Advent, we've used the word peace, hope, peace, joy, love, as the four words that we've chosen for Advent this year. And this morning, we're really just focused on that whole idea that God has given us a Prince of Peace. Peace is a weird thing. If I was to ask you, what does peace look like for you this morning? There's probably a variety of answers that we could have. I mean, when you hear the word peace, maybe your first inclination is to think somehow about political peace. You know, that there's a peace that happens in this world between nations, and we look for peace to take place. But I mean, we know political peace is a very fleeting thing. I mean, this week, the world leaders met. Was there peace there? There's name calling. Our own prime minister was caught on tape saying some disparaging remarks about Trump. And we know President Trump always takes those things so nicely, right? He responds calling our president two-faced, and they exchange words. And there's just this constant thing that seems to be happening in our world right now. I was reading about that this week, and over the last 3,500 years, one writer said this, that out of all of those years, he estimated that there are only 258 years where there has not been war somewhere in the world. Isn't that incredible? Out of 3,258. And his definition of war was a conflict in which more than 1,000 people died in the conflict. If you eliminate that, because we know today, we may not have war in the world, but there are conflicts where people are dying. Just last week, Wayne was talking about persecutions that are taking place in the world. Just people are dying, Christians are dying in conflicts around the world. Political peace just seems to be a very nebulous thing. And we may wish for it, and we may celebrate that in our country we live in relative peace, but it is relative. Or maybe when you hear the word peace, you think about emotional peace. You know, that sense of well-being. You know, just have a quiet spot. Out of the noise, out of the stress, just where you can kind of rest for a little while, and just all is calm. All is bright, right? That's the Christmas theme, that emotional peace. But we know emotional peace is such a fleeting thing. I mean, circumstances can so easily change that upset that peace in our life. My last Friday was one of those days. Friday morning, got up, get ready for coffee's on, usually go over and kind of set stuff up. When I got over there, I was informed that Jack was in the men's washroom cleaning up an overflow. The toilets had backed up. The urinal had backed up. It was all over the floor. It wasn't pretty. I was thanking God for Jack waiting in there before I had to get there. Just, you know, good to go, Jack. And it wasn't working. So then we got a snake, and then I kind of got into it. And we ended up having to call a plumber. We couldn't get it sorted out. And so while the plumber was coming, we also at the old building this past week have had a smell in the kitchen. You know, one of those dead thing kind of smells. Something was in there. We kind of putting up with it. And I was waiting for Friday when Richard, our caretaker, came, and I was going to get him to clean up the mess. And so I said, Richard, you know, I think it's under around the refrigerator. So we need to move the fridge so that you can get in there and clean this up. I love giving those kind of jobs. So Richard and I pulled the refrigerator out, and then we pulled the second refrigerator out. And we pulled that refrigerator out, the shelves that are over our refrigerators fell off the wall. And everything just crashes on the floor. So it's now on the floor where we suspect the mouse was, which we discovered it was a dead mouse, and maggots were on the floor. Peace is a very fleeting thing, right? I mean, there was not much peace to be found. I'll finish the plumbing story, though. I found a moment of peace. Because the plumber arrived, and he came in, and he looked at, and he came in, and he says, yeah, no, I can see it's blacked out. And he flushed the toilet. And I was kind of like, oh, don't, oh. So it flooded all over the floor again. He's like, yeah, no, that's blocked. That's the problem. You see the problem now, right? So he's standing there. He's starting to think about what the problems could be, and was asking me some other questions. As we're standing there, talking about it, suddenly in the urinal, which is also backed up and full, I start to see that wonderful little whirlpool. And it's draining. And then the toilet went whoosh, and it flushed too. And I looked at him, I said, "You are a miracle." That was unbelievable. He's kind of like, "Wow, you know, I guess it's working." And that was, now the best thing of that was, "I guess I can't charge you for this spot." And he's like, "You're right, you can't." He said, "You probably did the work this morning. So Jack, your stuff worked." And peace just goes like that, doesn't it? Emotional peace. If we're counting on circumstances, if we're counting on life to help us with our peace, we are going to run out of it really fast. Or maybe when you think about peace, it's relationship peace. You know, that we're in relationships that just grant us that sense of deep sharing and love and connectedness. I mean, Christmas is so much about that, isn't it? Christmas is all about this moment when we get together and family comes together and we sit around the table and we share a meal together and there is love and joy and peace and harmony and there's never any arguments. I mean, every Hallmark movie is about that, isn't it? And there are thousands of those. I have watched far too many of them, my wife already this year, but you know, it sets up this mirage of relational peace that is before us, as if there is never any conflict. But we all know, even in the most perfect of families, there is conflict. There are moments that we gotta work our way through. There is stuff that happens that we need to figure out. And I mean, that's family. I don't want to get into dating and friendships and employment. I mean, relationships are these fragile things. And if we're counting on those relationships to build the peace quotient in our lives, we're going to be in trouble. But in the midst of all that, we have the Prince of Peace given to us. Can that possibly be real? Is there a reality about Christmas? Is it even possible? Because that is the Christmas declaration. The Christmas declaration is that peace is available. Peace has come. I mean, our celebrations of Christmas often are anything but peaceful. We had so many layers of stress. We had so many layers of relationship. We had so many layers that we can lose track of what God holds up before us as the offering of peace. And I want to spend just a few moments this morning and help us to think through this whole idea of peace. And to do that with, we're going to end up with kind of three phrases that I hope are going to stick with you that describe the origin, the reality, and the assurance of peace. And when we're talking about peace this morning, I want to start off with a bit of a definition, because peace is not a lack of conflict. Peace is not a lack of activity. Peace is not only found when I sit, you know, in my easy chair with my feet up and listening to quiet music and I feel that. Peace that God wants us to understand is that rest and a hope and a joy in the midst of everything else that's taking place. Peace is a positive blessing, a right relationship with God, as Scripture informs us on this. It's really that sense that there is a wholeness in our lives, that all is well, that there is a relationship that we can count on, and that we have a sense of well-being with. And so as God at Christmas and the birth of his son talks about peace, he's wanting to understand that at the core, at the birth of Jesus, there is a peace being offered to us in this world. We know that great passage from Luke chapter 2. And if you got your scriptures with you this morning, you don't have the overview, don't have pictures behind us, we got this net that's in our way, but go focus. So get your Bible out, get your phone out. And we're going to turn to a couple of different scriptures this morning. We're going to start in Luke chapter 2. Luke 2 is just that very familiar passage. If you know the story of Christmas at all, you know this passage. This is the passage in Luke 2, beginning at verse 9, where the angels come to the shepherds. And the angels come and make this great announcement to them. It starts in verse 9. It says, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. When the glory of God shows up, it's a terrifying moment. I mean, when God in his presence, when God demonstrates some of who he is, it's a terrifying, awesome moment because you recognize the purity and the glory of who God is, and you understand just who you are in front of that. And the shepherds are terrified. But the angel says, don't be afraid because I bring you good news. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this is a sign. You'll find the baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger. And then a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth peace. And so many times people stop right there. I think the general impression of people who don't read the word very much or just have that picture of the angels and the shepherds stop there because they think the promise of that moment is we're going to have peace on earth. We're going to have a political peace. We're going to have a peace that kind of envelops everything. But we know that never happened. But this is what the angels say. And there is peace towards those on whom God's favor rests. This is a personal peace that is being brought into the world. This is a peace for people. This is a people for you, or a peace for you. It's a peace for me. The birth of Jesus is bringing good news into this world that peace is available. Peace is available for those who find their rest and their hope and their comfort in God, who appreciate this message, the good news that has come. Because in the message is a Savior, a Messiah has come. The completion of God's plan is now taking effect in the world. It harkens back to Old Testament prophecies. It harkens back to what Israel has been waiting for. We sang this morning, come thou long expected Jesus. They have been waiting and waiting for centuries for fulfillment to be fulfilled of the Messiah. And the angels now are making the declaration, the time has come. He is at hand. And it harkens back, if you want to turn back to Isaiah 9, and just let's look at that great prophecy that Isaiah gives, one of those most quoted of Advent scriptures. In Isaiah chapter 9, he's getting a promise of what is to come, a promise that there is salvation, there is deliverance, there is a hope for Israel. But it's being birthed in the very midst of despair and darkness. In Isaiah 9, and I'm going to read an extended part of this, beginning in verse 1. It says, but there will be no gloom for her who is in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he's made glorious the way of the sea, the way of beyond Jordan, Galilee of the nations. Galilee is going to be lifted up. Out of Galilee, out of that region, is going to come one who is going to bring hope. And the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them light shone. And you have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest. They are glad when they divide the spoil. A great new thing is going to be awakened. For the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor you have broken as on the day of Midian, there will be deliverance. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. That there will be a great sense of a new happening, of a new beginning. And why? Verse 6. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and evermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. A great prophecy from Isaiah that a new thing is going to take place through this promised child that is to come. Over 600 years before Jesus is born, Isaiah is saying there is one who is going to come that is going to accomplish great things. And in the wording of his message, there would be a sense of understanding that there had to be a sort of a primary context for this, but he's looking beyond because he's really saying in his wording of this child that God himself is on the move. God himself is going to enter into the midst of Israel, into the midst of this world. And in verse 6, just some of that wording, he's a wonderful counselor. That wording just doesn't mean, man, he's a really good counselor. You know, he's not the guy everybody wants to get referred to. You know, it's not like, wow, I went and he really fixed me. It's not a wonderful in the sense of that way. Wonderful, that word is the word that is attached to divinity. It's a word that has more to do with wonder. You know, that he's a wonderful counselor. He's beyond comprehension. That he has about him that sense of divinity, of God moving. So it's God as a counselor. And then that just gets filled out. He is mighty God, everlasting Father. So directly connected with God himself. God is going to be on the move. And then our verse, our word today, he will be the Prince of Peace. What's a prince? What's a prince? He's the son of the king. He's part of the royal line. He holds the authority and he holds the significance, he holds the power of the king. So the prince is coming, but he's identified as the Prince of Peace. And then it talks about his government. That of his government there's going to be no end. And in Israel's time from these prophecies, and we've heard about this last few weeks and we thought about his death and his resurrection. Verses like this were preparing Israel for a political takeover. They were preparing Israel that there was going to be a political deliverance because the talk of governments and king coming. But as Isaiah talks about this king as being the Prince of Peace, he's really not talking about him ushering in this political kingdom on earth. But we understand through Scripture, he's ushering in the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus came proclaiming. It's what John the Baptist was proclaiming. The kingdom of God is at hand. This is not a political nation as we understand the politics of this world. This is God's dwelling. This is God himself coming and establishing his kingdom here on earth. And so this child, this prince, is bringing peace with the king. He's the prince who will bring peace with God. So that the nation, so that people can understand what it is to be at peace with God. It's the hope of restored relationship with God, the Creator. The angels in their declaration, remember what they said? A Savior is born. That's the good news. The good news is a Savior is coming. What are we being saved from? We're being saved from our sin. We're being saved that we have been separated from God, that we are dead before Him in our transgressions and sins. But we have a Savior who is saving us out of that and saving us into this eternal relationship with God, who is our Creator, the Prince's King. It's the hope of restored relationship. Good news. Good news. You can have peace with God because we have the Prince of Peace who is given to us. You see, his birth is signaling this new era of relationship. His birth is that moment when God himself enters into the world and is providing that final once-for-all sacrifice for our sin so that we can be redeemed and reconciled. In Romans 5, if you want to flip your Bibles, we're going to spend a few moments here. Romans 5, this just gets unpacked for us. What that peace is going to look like, that we have peace with God. Romans 5, verse 1, it says, therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Christmas is our assurance of peace with God. No longer separated, we stand in a place of grace. I love how that gets phrased. Since we have been justified through faith, we have peace, through whom we have gained access into this grace in which we stand. We stand in grace, this place of God's favor extended towards us. That His grace is our salvation. His grace is the forgiveness of my sin and the gift of eternal life. That I am brought back into a new relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. There was cost to this peace. It was His death was the cost that bought the peace that I can have with God. His sacrifice for my sin, His taking the sin on us, allows me that I can come before the Father. You see, I'm in a restored relationship. One writer has put it this way, that we are brought back into the garden relationship. What's he mean by that? He means that we have been restored back to the place of Adam and Eve walking in the garden with God. You see, in their creation, after God created man and woman, He creates them in His image. You read at the beginning of chapter 2 how God used to come in the cool of the evening and walk with them. And there's that sense that as He walked with them, that was the time when He was teaching them all about Himself. It's when through interaction with God in the garden there that Adam and Eve started to grow in their knowledge and their understanding of who they were and who God was. This was relationship as God intended it to be, to walk with them in the garden. And we know sin entered, and God banishes them from the garden. Relationship was changed and broken. But you see, Jesus came, the Prince of Peace, that we can have peace with God, and the garden relationship is reborn for us. That we can walk with our Heavenly Father again. We're saved in that relationship with Him. Romans 5 goes on and describes it this way. We've been justified through faith. We have peace with God. We gained access by faith. And then we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Verse 3, not only so, but we glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. Character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. That's peace. That's peace in the midst of suffering, in the midst of persecution. There is perseverance. There is character. There is hope. There's a sense of rest that whatever this world brings against these people, that there is a dynamic in life that says, I rest in God, my Savior. That no matter what this world brings, I have peace with Him. Therefore, I have a peace that will carry me through this world. You see, since we have peace with God, we can know the peace of God in our lives. That's the second phrase for you this morning. Christmas says we have peace with God. That's our relationship. That's our standing. But we also can know the peace of God in our lives. You see, within the inner man, within our inner being, we can find a rest and a security when God is our dwelling place. So Paul, as he writes this and says that the repercussions of this peace, of being peace with God, is that I am able to go through perseverance, that I can see how suffering is producing that hope and character within me. Because ultimately it's God's love being poured into my heart by the Holy Spirit who's been given to me. The peace that I have with God allows me to know His peace within me. Because it's that peace that comes as I walk in relationship with Him, as I walk with Him through the garden or through the trials or through the suffering. You see, the time that I have with the Father is where He begins to grow and develop that peace and that place of His own being within my heart, within my life. One of my fond memories of my dad was when we were growing up, we had a cottage that we'd go to away on holidays, and we'd go for extended times with my mom, and dad would work and just come up on the weekends. And when Friday would start to roll around, we would sort of anticipate when dad would usually arrive. You know, you knew what time he got off work, how long it would take him to drive out. And so mom would send us down the road to meet him. And it was about a two or three mile road. You know, take us up to an hour to make this walk. I was small, my oldest brother was about 8 years older than I was, and we'd all head off down this road. But there was the anticipation of meeting up with Dad, right? Walking down the road, and not knowing when he was going to arrive, and which corner, and how far up the road we get on that particular week to meet him. But you see, it wasn't the walk up the road. It was the anticipation of meeting with Dad. Right, of being in His presence, of being able to talk with Him, of knowing what went on in His week, being able to talk to Him what happened in my week. See, that's the relationship that God Himself has developed and desired for us. I also remember that there were some weeks when things hadn't gone so well at the cottage, and we'd driven Mom a little nuts, and she would say, "You're not walking up the road this week." Or wait until your father gets here. You heard words like that, right? Wait until your dad, because she needed to explain some things to the Father before we got in the car with him. Right? Relationship. He was still dad, but there was a difference in meeting with him at that moment. Things needed to be cleared up with him. So that's the relationship of God the Father. We have peace with Him. That through Jesus, we will always be His sons and daughters. But we were able to clear the air, we were able to walk with Him and have that excitement of being with Him, even if it's good or it's bad. For since we have peace with God, we can know the peace of God. That reality of inner peace is possible for us. See, that's the promise of the Spirit within us. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, talks about love, joy. What's the next one? Peace. Right? That's one of the characteristics that God is going to develop in your life as you give yourself to Jesus and are saved and are brought into a relationship with Him. He's going to train you and develop you in ways that you can find a rest and a wholeness in the midst of all the circumstances that place and take place around you. This is the character of being born again in Him, of conforming to the image of Christ, to know God's rest and His wholeness and His contentment, to have trust in Him and an assurance of security with Him. And the last phrase that ties all this together, and why Christmas is this moment of peace, because not only do we know God's peace and have the peace of God, but we also have the God of peace dwelling within us. See, this is how it's all made practical for us. God Himself, at Christmas, came and was born in this world. And He lived, and He died, and He gave Himself on the cross for our salvation. He's ascended to high. But He's now given His Spirit to us. And by His Spirit, the same God who was birthed and walked this earth, by His Spirit now dwells within us. We have the presence. We have God's presence Himself within us. But I have the God of peace within me. You see, that's Philippians 4. And let's turn to that passage just to end off here. See, Philippians 4, as Paul was getting instructions to the church, a church that was experiencing persecution, and he writes to them a great letter of joy and contentment, but he's reminding them that this comes in their relationship with God. Philippians 4, 6 through 9, he ties these two ideas of peace together. Philippians 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, for the Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. See, that's relationship. I have peace with God. I'm invited into his presence to bring it all before him. And then Paul says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. God's peace will be the garrison for your soul. God's peace, God's sense of contentment and security and assurance will be that which guards you in the midst of anxiety, in the midst of all the pressures of life and the stresses. And it's because you have peace with God that you can have that kind of assurance, that you can trust him. He's a counselor. But he goes on the next two verses, and he talks about this. He says, so think on these things, brothers and sisters. Whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, whatever is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And what's he say? And the God of peace will be with you. Say, I have peace with God through Jesus Christ. And because I have that peace relationally with God, I can experience the peace of God in my heart and my life. Because ultimately, I can come to know the God of peace who dwells within me by his Spirit. And that's the great promise of presence for us. See, that's ultimately what it is to be saved. It's ultimately what it is to be brought into the family of God, to be blessed in his kingdom. You know, it's really that picture of what heaven ultimately will be, is it will be forever in his presence. And he is now present within us. And to know the reality of his presence is the great gift of God's Spirit for us. Jesus, when he promised the Spirit, he said that, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you familyless here. I'm going to give you my Spirit. And the Spirit will come and will be a great counselor for you. John 14, 20, he says, and on that day you'll realize that I am in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. That's the full circle. Jesus is in the Father. And he says, we are in Jesus. And then he says, and I am in you. See that complete cycle where he says, you can dwell in my presence because my presence will dwell in you. So we have peace with God. We can know the peace of God because the God of peace is with us. Jamie and the team come back up as we prepare to finish off our service. Because as we do that, those are such, in some ways, such simple phrases to take hold of. But I mean, it's the ultimate groundwork of what Christmas is about. That God's presence can be with you. See, we call him Emmanuel. Why? Because it's God with us. And Emmanuel dwells in your heart and your life by faith, and you can rest in that. So as we finish off this morning, I think it would be good just to ask a very simple question. Has anything stolen your peace? What have you let steal the peace that God has promised? See, for some, maybe you've never experienced the peace of God because you've never experienced peace with God. Maybe you've never taken that actual step of confessing your sins before Jesus. Of confessing and repenting of sin and saying, I know that it's sin that has separated me from you. And I embrace the Savior, born at Christmas, died at Easter, rose again that I might have life in him. And I confess through faith that that's all I need. It's all I have to do is see, that's where peace with God comes. Maybe you need to just begin right there. There isn't peace in your life because you've never known peace with God, your Creator. Or maybe today you've allowed anxiety to rob you of peace. You've allowed circumstances to rob you of peace. You've allowed some relationship to rob you of the ultimate peace that God wants to have with you. You need to come back to the place and just say, oh God, I need to know you. On Friday, after all the turmoil of my day, I was just sitting down in my office finally, and I knew this message was coming, and I said, Lord, I've lost peace today. But God, I know you're still in control. And God, just grant me a sense of your presence for a moment. Grant me what your Spirit says, that I know I'm your child and I call you Abba, Father. So I can rest in that security. Maybe that's what you need to do today, is just ask by his Spirit that he would come and confirm that he is your presence with you. The Prince of Peace has come. Emmanuel, God with us. Let's stand together and sing as we close.